We started last time really the main section of the Sefer on page 11, Seder Emtzei V'Yesod HaChevra, the practical techniques and the theories that are going to make up the theories, not in a theoretical sense, theory as things that we hope to apply to our life, but things that really serve as the techniques that we're going to use to found our Chevra and to build the Chevra. And I want to just share a few thoughts just by way of introduction, because I really think to understand Aleph and Beis, which is what we're going to try to do tonight, we really need to understand how a Jew, and it's the title of the Sefer, it's what we've been talking about, B'nei Machshava Tova, that a Jew has to work on becoming a thoughtful person, a mindful person, a person who doesn't just go through life on autopilot. And already you find in the writings of the Rishonim and in the Achronim and Balei Machshava and Balei Halacha, you find in so many areas the danger of a person who lives a life that might even be a good life. And that's what I want to emphasize. A person could be living a very decent life, but if it's without an awareness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then the whole thing in a sense is for naught. And I know that sounds like a very strong thing to say, but I'll bring you a proof from no less of an authority than the Ramban. The Ramban, in his Akdama to Sefer Iyov, the Ramban writes as follows. He says, HaRasha HaKofer, he's describing at length, no, after everything that Iyov went through, all the suffering in his life, Ramban begins with a very, very strong hakdama where he talks about Ashkacha Pratis. And that a person can't live their life thinking that everything happens by chance, and everything is happenstance, and that the world always was, and that there's no creator. And he gets very, very powerful in his expressions of how strongly a person needs to believe this. And he writes, somewhere along this lengthy hakdama, he writes as follows. He says, HaRasha HaKofer Bekel, Kigona Omrim Sha'olam Kadmu. A Rasha who doesn't believe in a Kadosh Baruch Hu and believes that the world always was. He's paraphrasing a pasuk in Yirmiyah. He denies Hashem and says that he is not. Listen to what he says. And it's hard to understand. You don't get schar for being a good person, even if he lives his entire life being a good person. That's what he says. Ein b'maaseim schus, the actions of such a person who denies God will receive no merit, even if he operates with midos nos v'tovos kol yameim, if his whole life he lives as a good person. Now why should that be? It's very hard to understand. The Rambam has a shita that if someone who's not Jewish does, without an awareness, performs the seven misses b'nei noach, and again, this is debated, and people try to defend and explain the sheet of the Rambam, what's the source for the Rambam. But the Rambam writes very clearly that a ben noach who does the mitzvos of a ben noach without awareness that he's doing those mitzvos for the right reason is not going to get schar for it. You don't get credit automatically just for being a decent person. Now, why should that be? At the end of the day, you're doing the right thing. You're doing good things. So why is it that this person who denies God and doesn't believe that there's God, but he still wants to be an ethical person, why should he not get credit for it? Why should he not get credit for it? So Rav Chanan Wasserman in the Kovetz Ma'amarim, in a piece about going to college, actually. Interesting, Rav Chanan was very strong. He was writing to Rav Shimon Schwab, who wanted to know, to what degree can a person be osik in Chachmas Chitzonios? To what degree? Thank you so much. To what degree can a person be involved in the study of secular knowledge? How should he go about it? To what degree should he go about it? Certain Rishonim certainly did so. Does that mean we can? Does that mean we shouldn't? Because they were on a higher level. And he writes at the very end of this long response, again, that was written to Rav Shimon Schwab. And Rav Schwab had written to a few Gedolim at that time. He wrote to Rav Baruch Ber, and he wrote to Rav Chanan Wasserman, and he wrote to a few others, I don't remember at this time. He wrote to a few others, asking them, what do you think about secular knowledge? But he writes at the very end, very interesting. He says, Nira de kofer ha'osa mitzvah eina klum dahavi misasik. He gives us a little bit of an understanding of what the Ramban is talking about here. Why should it be a person does mitzvos? He's doing good deeds, but he's doing it without the awareness of God. Thank you. So says Rav Chanan, you know why? It's because it's like a person who's misasik. What does it mean to do something in a state of misasik? What does that mean? And he goes on and he explains. Lefima shakasav haran b'shem hara'a. Da'afil l'man da'amar mitzvos ein tzrichos kavana. Even according to the opinion that you don't need kavana to get credit for the mitzvah. Va'ochel matzah below kavana yatzah. And if you eat the matzah without an awareness, your yotze. But what does that mean? What type of awareness can you get away with of not having? Aval davka k'shiyodeya shezo matzah v'hayom pesach. You have to know that what I'm holding in my hand is matzah. And what I'm a part of right now is a world called Pesach. I didn't have kavanah. I'm about to eat the matzah in fulfillment of the biblical commandment of eating matzah. That much was lacking. But I know this is matzah, and I know it's Pesach. Because if I don't even know, if I don't have any sense of my environment, if I don't know this is called matzah, and I don't know this is called Pesach, I just happen to be eating a wafer on a Tuesday night, right? That's considered misasik, to the point that even the one who holds mitzvahs ain't tzrichos kavana, the mitzvahs don't require great intent, would say you're beyond the scope of what's functioning. You're not a functioning human being. And that's what the Ramban is saying. You could be a really good person, but if you deny God, if you don't believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if you're kofer in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then all the good things that you do are worthless. Because you've missed the whole context of the entire universe. And it's true about so many other areas of life. I want to just bring one more example. It's not our typical type of mind makomos tonight. But in the writings of Rav Chaim Soloveitchik, Rav Chaim Brisker, in the famous piece that he has on Kavanah and Tefillah, we contrast the Rambam in Perek Dalet of Hilchos Tefillah and Rambam in Perek Yud, where the Rambam in Perek Dalet seems to say that a person needs Kavanah, and Tefillah without Kavanah is not Tefillah at all. And then the Rambam, a few prakam later, says that as long as you have Kavanah during the first bracha, you're Yotzei. First bracha Shmoneser, you're Yotzei. So which is it? So if we're very simplistic, we would say, well, the Rambam was introducing it in Perek Dalet. You need Kavanah, and then he clarifies the details in Perek Yud that, no, when I said you need Kavanah, I only meant during that first paragraph. Rav Chaim Brisker felt differently. In his very famous piece here, in the Chedusha of Chaim Alevi on the Rambam, he says, really, we're talking about two different types of Kavanah. When we talk about davening, there's two types of kavanah. There's kavanah for peirush hadvarim, to understand what the words mean. And then there's a second kavanah, he says. Vishenis, the second kavanah is that you know, shehu omid b'tfilah lifnei Hashem, that at least I have a clue that I'm davening. To know that what I'm doing right now is called davening. I'm standing in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It says Rav Chaim Brisker, in Perek Dalet, where it says that a person has to have kavanah, otherwise it doesn't count. That means he has to be aware that he's in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And listen to the words that he uses. It's the exact same language that Rav Chanan used to describe, again, the person who does good deeds without realizing that God exists. That's what the Ramban was getting at in his Akdamah Te'il. V'nir the Kavanah Zu, Einu Midin Kavanah. This type of Kavanah is not a special aspect of Kavanah when it comes to Tefillah. Rak Shehu Me'etzem Maisa Tefillah. If you're davening and you don't even realize that you're in the presence of God, and that doesn't mean I'm deeply meditating on what that means to be in the presence of God. But if I'm in shul and my brain is somewhere else and I'm not even cognizant of the fact that I'm davening, im ein libo panoi, ve'einu roes atmo she'omid lifnei Hashem, mispalel, ein zeh maisa tefillah. It's not tefillah. It's not davening. It looks like davening. It's got the shuffling. It's got the banging on the chest. Right? The monkeys in the jungle also bang on their chest. So who says that that's, you know, maybe that's their davening. If you look in Parak Shira, right? But who says that that's davening? And the same way that misasik on Shabbos is lenient because it's not considered an action, so too a person who's davening, he's misasik. He's totally oblivious. He's not at all connected to what he's doing, and it's ki'ilu, he's not doing anything. He doesn't exist. And again, I think with this Hakdama, we can now start to understand a little bit why the Pius Esther feels that if we want to be a B'nai Machshava Tova, we want to be a group of people who are thoughtful Jews, and his first point is awareness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, feeling the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and not becoming forgetful Jews. It starts with this understanding that a Jew can't live his life as a misasik. You can't live your life on autopilot, which is so easy for most of us to get used to, that we get, and that's exactly what this chabur is about. Which we're all in our own way trying to break a little bit out of that staleness of life that can so easily set in. And I want to just add one more point before we come back to the words of the Pius Etzer, and that is that we're talking halacha now. As much as we're learning the sefer of Chassidus, which is speaking really to our neshama, we're also talking in the realm of halacha. Forgetting HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a halacha category. And I want to just read a few words from the sefer Charedim. Sefer Charedim was malakid in an amazing way. He puts together all of the mitzvos according to the different body parts. This is the mitzvah. There's other things in here as well, but these are the mitzvos that, you know, align with your eyes, and these are the mitzvos that correspond to the heart, and this is the mitzvah that. So in the 12th parak, in the mitzvos that correspond to the peh and to the throat, that a person can be mekayim every day, he writes in Perek Yud Beis, Os Nun Aleph, V'zachartas Hashem Elokecha, Ki Hu Anosin Lecha Koach Lasos Chayel. It's a pasuk in Devarim Perches. Remember HaKadosh Baruch Hu because He gives you strength. If you exist, it's only because HaKadosh Baruch Hu allows you to exist. V'zacharta. Sounds like one of the zechiros. It may not be one of the zechiros you find in the back of your sitter, the six daily remembrances, but you know, there are lists that have a lot more. The Chidar had a lengthier list. The Ibrahimus added other ones to the list. The word v'zachart appears more than six times in the Torah. So it says, listen to the words of the Sefer Charedim, Harei zo mitzvah saseh lizkor as Hashem tamid. There's a mitzvah daraisa. Again, do all the Monei mitzvahs count it? We're not talking on that level. But just to be aware that even some people, that the Torah itself has a pasuk that says, V'zacharta as Hashem alokecha. Be fully cognizant of the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives you all of your strength. Al derech shevisi Hashem lenegdi tamid. V'amr ha-meshorer v'yerav zichrocha al lishoni. Come on, no face suf ta'amti uksiv leshimcha ulezichrocha tavas nefesh. To your name and to your remembering you, right? The memory of you is tavas nefesh, is the desire, is the longing of my soul. Ulemal mi pasuk zen. If you go back a couple pesukim before that, you'll find another pasuk. He shamer lecha pentishkach es Hashem lokecha. Be careful not to forget a kodesh b'leisha pesukim. These are mafurish pesukim in the Torah. This is not some nice Hasidish idea that the Piazetz Rebbe made up to help people become, you know, on a higher level of God awareness. These are basic Torah principles. The Kasa of Rabbeinu Yona writes in Shari Tshuva in the third Shar, Shazom mitzvahs alos asei shalo lishkoach shemo hagadol rega. There's a mitzvahs asei to remember Hashem. There's a mitzvahs alos asei not to forget Hashem. And with this, we can come back to the words of our Rebbe, the Piazetz Rebbe, and see what he wants to tell us. So let's take it again from the beginning of Os Aleph on page 11. Pasuk miyaser Yisrael va'omer. Pasuk at the end of the Torah, Parshas Hazinu, warns us very clearly. Vatishkach kel mechol alecha. At the beginning of the pasuk, we said last week, Tzur yalagcha teshi. The rock who gave birth to you, teshi, you forgot it. Vatishkach kel mechol alecha. You forgot the God that has created you. Zeu ikir hasiba shemarachekes sa'adim in elokav. This is the main thing that distances a person from a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Forgetfulness, lack of awareness of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. We said last time from the Degel Machane Ephraim in Parshas Vayikra, the beautiful vart of the Baal Shem Tov on the Pasuk in Tehillim Perek Lamed Beis. Right, praiseworthy is the person, again the Pashup Shah on the Pasuk, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't see you as sinful. But we learned the Pasuk differently. Praiseworthy is the person that if he doesn't think about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right, lo avon, that if he's not aware of Hashem, lo avon, he himself is bothered by that. He stops thinking about God for 1 second, it bothers him terribly. And that's the main thing that caused us to be distanced from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But a person goes through life, and life just takes over. I remember Weinberger once shared in the shir a number of years ago, at one time when he was teaching in high school, he took some of his students on a class trip. Somehow he ended up on this trip. Part of the trip, he said they were going to visit some tzaddik. And part of the trip, they went to the commodities exchange. That was part of the trip. So he was standing there with his seniors that he was teaching at the time. And they were looking down on the floor. I don't know exactly how it works. Maybe some of you know a lot better than me. They're looking down on, I think, the pit, you know, where everyone's buying and selling and trading and doing whatever they're doing. And he said there were a bunch of yarmulkes, you know, a fair amount of yarmulkes down below amongst the chevra. And he said all of a sudden, some Jewish guy noticed that, you know, that this Jew was standing up top looking down with a big beard. And he was standing with some boys who were clearly Jewish. And the guy looks up at them. From amidst all of the madness on the floor, he looks up at them and he pumps his fist at them and he goes, Shabbos, Shabbos. It was like Tuesday afternoon, Shabbos. And Weinberger said, it was like he sat with his students afterwards for like an hour and like spoke about that. Meaning, we sometimes think that Shabbos is like when I recover so I can get back to the week. That was what he was talking about in this year. That a person can gather his strength to then go back to face the world again. Shabbos is, if you ask the average person on the street, what is Shabbos? The average Jew on the street, what is Shabbos to you? Describe Shabbos. The day of Menucha. I can recover. I can gather myself. And then Motzei Shabbos, I'm back to the grind, but I have the strength to endure. But what happens if we function like that? That means Shabbos is secondary. Shabbos is just allows us to keep going. But the main arena is when I'm out there during the 6 days of the week. And he says, obviously, that's a terrible, he's reading a piece from Rav Kook, that's a terrible, terrible mistake in how to look at Shabbos. And he said it was amazing to see someone who was so much in the world, and yet he didn't for a second forget HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That he could be able to look up and scream, like, I haven't, you know, this Imam Akim Krasich Hashem from the pit down below on the trading floor. Not for a second did I forget HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Not for a second did I forget the tachlis of my life. And he goes on, because that's the Rebbe goes on, the tefillah also shall Rebbe Rav Eli Melech, Zecher Tzadik Kadosh Levracha, Rav Eli Melech Lejens, used to explain, as he writes in his tefillah, Tehei machshava sinu, we daven, we beg of you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that our machshava, that our thoughts should be zacha, should be pure, tzalula, clear, berura, refined, chazaka, strong. We should be able to think the way a Jew is supposed to think. V'chol yish yodeya shebe'im hayeroa be'inav mamish, echu omid lifnei Hashem. If a person would be able to see himself with open eyes, to catch a glimpse of a HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we know the Torah says it's not possible to see Hashem and to survive. But if we could imagine what it would be like to actually see Melech Malchei Amlachim standing in front of us, one of the first halachos, almost the first thing that the Ramah writes in all of Shulchan Aruch, is this nekuda, that if only we could see, if only we could see it, or as I'll go on to explain in a second, if only we could perceive just by thinking, and that's what we're going to focus on, because we can't see. We're not expecting. The goal of this chibur is not how do I learn how to see Hashem. The goal of this chibur is how do I learn how to think about Hashem. How do I become aware of Hashem, mentally aware of Hashem? How do I train my mind to feel the presence of Hashem? Everyone knows this Ramah, but it's kedai to read it again inside. The Ramah in Siman Aleph, the very beginning of the Shulchan Aruch, she quotes the pasuk in Tehillim, Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Summit. He's paraphrasing the Rambam. Hu klal gadol b'toru malas atzadikim. This is a principle, a basic principle of being a Jew and being a tzaddik, and amich kulam tzaddikim. We all want to be tzaddikim. Because you can't compare the way a person acts when he's sitting alone, the way that he's tnuosav, every move that he makes, and the business that he's involved in when he's alone in his house. You can't even begin to compare that. We all know the feeling. Right? And we've never been in, most of us, I don't think any of us probably have been in the presence of a melech, of Basar Adam, a true melech. Right? But can you imagine if you were in the presence of the President of the United States of America, how you would act? Or in the presence of your boss who's you know, wielding his power in front of you, there's a certain attitude that a person stands there trembling. So you can't compare the way a person sits or stands or acts in his house and the way he acts when he's in front of a melech gadol. The way he speaks, the language that passes over his lips. It's not comparable when he's im anshe beiso, ukrovav, as opposed to when he's standing in the presence of the melech. You can't even begin to compare it. Kol shekein kishiyasim ma'odim alibo shamelech hagadol kadosh baruch hu asher maloch ha'aretz kavod Hashem, who, whether we like it or not, fills every nook and cranny of reality. And he's always there, and he's omid alav. We're all b'maisav, and he sees everything we do. The most embarrassing things that we've ever done, Hashem is watching every bit of it. Kamo shenemar im yisaser ish b'mistarim v'ani lo arenu num Hashem. If man hides in a hiding place, what, I'm not going to see him, says Hashem. Miyad yagia love hayira v'achna v'pachad Hashem yisparach. A person would tremble, according from the Moreh Nebuchim. A person would tremble when he would just think about these things. So says the Piyaz Esther, imagine a person who could close his eyes and see, whatever that means, to see a Kadosh Baruch Hu in front of us. Lo ayashum yetzahara, we wouldn't have the slightest bit of a yetzahara. Adrab, es kol nasho v'chol nishmaso hayamotzi b'diburim kadoshim lefnei Hashem, ad sheyizbato kulo v'yizkalo al yedeim bo yizbarach. We'd be so caught up and taken hold of by the spirit of Hashem, by the presence of Hashem, it wouldn't just be a bittul where I feel like I'm a nothing and I'm embarrassed and I can't even get the words out. But I would be pulled in by Hashem's love to the point that my neshama would just be bittul to Hashem and I'd be absorbed back in that oneness, in that klalius of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's universe. V'lozu afsu. But not only that, not only when I could, if I could imagine seeing Hashem, I can't see Hashem. So we're not going to focus on that, says the Piyaz Etzer. But afzu, even the following scenario, even when my mind is strong and I'm aware of Hashem mentally, I feel the presence of Hashem, I'm thinking about Hashem. A person in those moments where I close my eyes and I think about, and I can't picture Hashem, but if I'm just thinking about Hashem and I'm thinking about how HaKadosh Baruch Hu is responsible for the 7 billion people on planet Earth and He knows every detail of everything about my life and everything that's going on in my world, just thinking about that should be mevatel yetzara. If I'm truly aware of that, if I can actually bring those thoughts to a deep place in my mind, it should be an overwhelming thing, and the yetzara should disappear. The whole arso and all of the poison of the yetzara, shemefafeya b'chushei gufo, which is constantly bubbling and rising up within the chushei gufo in all of our senses. Right, the things that our eyes are pulled to, and our ears are pulled to, and our body is pulled to, but teilem oz l'Hashem, in that moment of awareness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's totally batal. V'am ein kol echad mi Yisrael margish l'mashal b'yom HaKippur. Would we all not admit that at least on one day a year, on Yom Kippur, u'b'prad beis kol nidrei ne'ilah, when Yom Kippur arrives, when Yom Kippur is in its closing moments, do we not feel, can we not all clearly declare that bitul kol taiva hiro v'ratzon lo tov? That nothing in the world would tempt me to do an aveira in that moment? no matter how tempting it might be on a regular weeknight. Because my machshava, my mind is so deeply attached to Hashem, I don't see Hashem. Hashem's presence didn't enter the Beis Medrash or the Beis Knesset where I was davening. I don't see Hashem, but I feel Hashem. And my mind is so deeply attached to Hashem. So says the Piyazetzer, and therefore the entire shortcoming of every time we fall, every time we struggle with something, it's simply rooted in that pasuk in Azinu, "V'tishkach kel b'cholalecha." You've forgotten the God who's created you. Shenofa machshavasa, that my mind has detached. I'm not in a state of shivisi Hashem l'negdi tamid. Ve'eino zacha bara v'chazaka. And unfortunately, it's difficult for us to maintain that Yom Kippur clarity and that strength. And therefore, even when a person attempts at times to strengthen his concentration and his awareness, sometimes he feels, I can't keep it up, right? Hashem is slipping away again. And therefore, since this is the reality of mankind, and there's a bracha, there's a certain bracha in forgetfulness also that exists. As far as I'm talking about the koach of forgetfulness as a means to help us to move on. If I was too aware of everything, I'd be also very much aware of my averus, and I'd feel so embarrassed of it that I'd feel unworthy to serve God. So there's a certain bracha that comes with the shechacha. When Moshe broke the luchos, yasher kochach, right? Yasher kochach, sheshibarta. Hashem said, shkoyach, that you broke the luchos. And breaking the luchos was brought shechacha to the world, the Medrash says, Chazal say. So there is a certain bracha that exists within shechacha. But obviously the goal for our lives and the goal for our chabura, as he says here, kol avodah seinu tzvich lios eich lechazik es machshav seinu. The goal of our avodah is, how can we become more mindful? How can we not be the types of people who are constantly slipping back into that state of total unawareness? To expand our awareness of God, and to strengthen it, and to perfect it, and to attach ourselves to Hashem. Not only when I hear the sound of the shofar blaring in my ears, or Yom Kippurim v'kedoma, v'akam tamid tiyabara chazaka ukshura v'kedusha, that a person could be totally, totally mindful at all times. And again, as much as on the one hand it seems very difficult, and it seems very challenging to have that type of awareness, on the other hand it's very easy. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made it that it should be easy for us. The two dibros that we heard from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, and Lo Yiyah Lecha, the two that we heard directly from Hashem, Gemara says in Makos, those are the two we heard directly from Hashem. So they made a certain rosham in our hearts. They left a mark on us in a way that it should be easy to return to. In Parshas Ve'eschanan, there's a bar from the Kedusha Slavi. It's not quoted in Sefer Kedusha Slavi. It's quoted in other Sfarim, B'Shem the Kedusha Slavi. And he explains as follows. In Parshas Ve'eschanan it says, right before it recounts the Asar Sadibros again, it says, Anochi Omed Ben Hashem Uben Eicha. Ah, sorry, that's your... Ari loves the bar from the Rav Moshe of Kabrin. That Anochi Omid Bein Hashem Ubein Eichem, that Anochi, that sense of Anochi, of self, can sometimes stand between us and the Kodesh Baruch Hu. It's a vard in humility. But the Kedushas Levi says a little differently. He says, what's the pshat Anochi Omid? Why is it in Lashon Hoga? Anochi Omid, right? I am standing between Hashem and you. We're reading the Torah now. We're reading Parshas Ve'eschanan when it comes. And Moshe Rabbeinu is not Omid, right? Anymore. He's not standing there anymore. So what does it mean? So the Bradishever explains that when we heard, again, the Anochi of Anochi Hashem Elokecha, that ripped our hearts open in such a deep way that it can never be forgotten. And he writes as follows. He says, Nichlas hadibur halaz b'lev kol echad miyisrael, ad sof kol adoros, that awareness of Hashem that was so clear to the Jewish people when we heard Hashem in his own voice, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, whatever that means, Kiviyachal, in his own voice, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, that penetrated so deeply, ad sof kol adoros. In an extreme example, what that means is, so much so that push comes to shove, any Jew, and this you find, he does write in Parshas Yisro, in the Kedusha Slavi, the Tani writes this, many tzaddikim write this, and we know it to be true, historically we know it to be true, that push comes to shove, a Jew who could be so irreligious and so disinterested in the Kodesh Baruch Hu, push comes to shove, there's been wild stories of people who were so far from Yiddishkeit, who were prepared to throw themselves into a fire, Al Kiddush Hashem. So where does that come from? Where does that deep awareness, when it looks like they've forgotten Hashem for years. For years and years and years. And then suddenly, in a second, they say, Hashem, I never forgot you.
that there was never really ba'omek nishmasim, there was never v'tishkach kel mechol lech. I never forgot the God who created me. When was I created in that way? You know when I was created in that way? When Hashem said Anochi Hashem Elokecha, and our souls went flying out of our body, and then God revived us. In that moment, I was created through the Anochi Hashem Elokecha. And therefore, it says the Berditchever, Anochi Omid Bein Hashem Uveinecha, and he reads it in such a beautiful way. He says, Anochi, that word Anochi is Omid, will forever stand as a means of connection Bein Hashem Uveinecha, as a relationship between you and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ki Yased Bal Timo, like a peg that can never be moved from its place. And therefore, it's in Lashon Hova, Anochi Omid. That Mila of Anochi is still standing strong. And therefore, again, it's our job just to find it within ourselves. We don't have to go out and create it. This is not, the P.S. Esther is not telling us, I'm going to teach you a whole new way how a Jew should live. He's teaching you how to get back to yourself. That's all he's teaching us. That's the whole thing. It's unfathomable that I could slip away from Kadosh Baruch Hu for a second. In the Avkas Rochlin, a beautiful collection of teachings from different tzaddikim, so he writes on page 188 in the name of the Kabriner, he says it in Yiddish, Mein moach nemt mir nit. My brain can't grasp. Mein seichel nemt mir nit. My seichel, my intellect, cannot understand. Vi forgess das ayid arega, how it's possible that a Jew can forget even for a second, azis da agot oif der welt, that there's a God of the world. I don't understand. He says it doesn't make any sense to me. My brain cannot grasp how a Jew can forget about that a Kadosh Baruch Hu runs the world even for a second. Thus is dach das leaven. This is what life itself is. So if you want to exist, if you don't want to be a misasik, where your maisim don't even count, where your tefillah is not a tefillah, and your actions are not actions, your maisim of chesed are not chesed, so the Kabbalah, I don't understand. How is it possible? How is it possible that a Jew can forget that a Kadosh Baruch Hu runs the world? How is it possible that a Jew can slip away? And the goal is again to be mechazik ourselves, that we do know it, we do know it. Anochi is omid, it stands strong between us and the Kadosh Baruch Hu. And our job is to constantly just find ways to deepen it and to work on it. Now if we'll say we have so many things wrong with us, so who are we to spend all of our time thinking about God? How about fixing the practical things that I do? Before I become a philosopher of God, before I start thinking about a Kadosh Baruch Hu, maybe I should just use my body in the right way. Maybe I didn't put on tefillin today, so maybe I should put on tefillin. Or maybe I ate something that was, you know, not the most reliable hechsher, so maybe I should work on that first. Maybe I should be attacking the lower aspects of my existence before I get to the more lofty, elevated machshava dika welt of my world. So he writes in O space. Let's continue now in O space. Vine lefia ms. If you're going to ask yourself the question that we just raised, avona samachshava tzrichal haslim lamata lamala. If really you'll say to yourself, this is ridiculous. I have so many practical things that I need to just be mechazik myself in. So now all of a sudden I'm going to walk around. This is what my avoda is going to be. I'm going to set a reminder on my iPhone that every half hour it's going to blink, think about God, and I'll be mechazik myself in this machshava. But while I know that I'm still doing things wrong with my guf, so really he says, the truth is that that's how the avoda should be. The avoda really should work from the bottom up. Milamata lamala. Mischila yitar esgufo va'oz machshavasum amela titar v'tischazik. The truth is, he says, if we would get our bodies under control, if we would do tshuvas haguf, so to speak, so then the thoughts would come much more naturally. When I'm in an environment where I'm actively doing averos, it's much harder to refine my thoughts. If anything, I'm going to try to rationalize my way around the things that I'm doing. So wouldn't it make more sense, he says, to refine my guf, and then automatically, wouldn't that sort of lead itself into the process of refining my mind? And let's start with lofty ideas of these elevated thoughts. It seems unrealistic. Says the P.S. Esther, while that's true, in a lechachila sense, what we just said is true, it really should start from the bottom up. The body should first fix itself before the mind is able to be in control. And that's how it was in earlier generations. Since the earlier generations began in that way, they were able through that to come to a perfection of thought. When they had a body that was already bound up and was subjugated itself to those acts of Kedusha, those physical acts of Kedusha, hayazed derech hayoser tol mechuba. The truth is, this is really the right way. If we're not in control of our body, how on earth am I going to be in control of my mind? It's so much harder to reel in my thoughts than it is. Then my body, I can hold it back. I can physically stop it. I can tell someone, don't let my body, you know, do X, Y, or Z. But my mind, no one can be sholeit on my mind. It's up to, you know, me, myself, and I. So that's really the ideal way, says the PSF, turning the page. Lo kenata. But unfortunately, in the time period in which we're living, we don't have that luxury. And therefore, we have to work backwards. Now, it's hard to understand. We'll try to explain in a second. But when we're living in the ikvos of the Mashiach, and again, this was 100 years ago, we already said that, alachas kam v'kama in the year Tav Shinai and Dalet, as we get closer and closer to Mashiach, dor namuch dor shel ikvin, we're living in a generation that's very low, very, very low, again, superficially low. Right? All the Sfarim say, in the deepest part of our soul, we're the most refined, which is why we do have the realistic possibility of bringing Mashiach, and it should come speedily in our days. But superficially, we're the lowest generation. You read us Hadoros. We're a door nabuch. We're a door that's compared to the heels, the lowest, most you know, part of the body that itself is a very, it's gross, right? Gross, not in like disgusting. Gross in like it's thick. It's covered by the shoe. It's covered by the sock. Right? You could stick a needle through the skin of the heel. Sometimes it's so dense and so thick that it can't even feel anything. That's our generation. That's the world in which we're living. I always share from Rabbi Akiva Tetz. He said it's an amazing thing. The heel is a fascinating thing. Dr. Dove, you know. Right? You can take a needle sometimes and stick it through the skin, and it's so unrefined, it's so insensitive that it can't even, that it doesn't bother. You can put, right, there's the thickness of the skin. At the same time, you take a feather and you run it over the bottom of the, right, the bottom of the foot, and the person can be wild with laughter. And Rabbi Akiva Tetz said that's the ikvos of the Mashiach. On the one hand, we could get our kicks out of, you know, watching stupid YouTube videos for hours and think it's the greatest thing in the world, and have such a feeling of regesh. We're so moved, and there's so much feeling, and there's so much emotion. And then when it's fun, you hear a Jew gets killed in Eretz Yisrael, and you say, like, oh, I'm so sorry to hear. Like, that's the extent of our feeling. We don't break down. We're not crying. We're not broken over it. And then we say, it's hard for us to feel. When you were watching that, you know, that funny video, it wasn't so hard for you to feel. But that's the irony. That's the absurdity of the ikvos of the Mashiach. And that's the nature of the heel itself. Now, so what we're saying is, the heel is going to have machshavos. That's what we're basically saying now. You're telling me that really I'm supposed to build from the bottom up, right? From the heel all the way up to the head. And then I'm zocha to turn my brain on in this elevated way. But now you're telling me that because of our lowliness, because we're holding by the heel, you know where we should start? Says the P.S. Esther, because we have no choice, we should start from the head. It's the opposite extreme. It's the farthest thing away. In a sense, it's the farthest thing, and in a sense, it's the closest thing. There's an amazing story that Rabbi Brazil, who used to be in Shar Yashav, now in Eretz Yisrael, tells in a sefer, Bishvili Nivra Olam. He says, the Rebbe of Zichov once came to the Brisker Rav. And he said to the Brisker Rav, he said, I want to tell you a Chassidus Shavar. Okay, it's not exactly the world of Brisk, but he was Mekablu. And he says to the Brisker Rav, even though we're called the Ikvos of the Mashiach, and we're compared to the heel, and that means we're the lowest of the low. But he says to the Brisker Rav, but think about it. He says, the Svarim explain that if you think about it, the heel carries the whole body. The heel holds up everything. The heel carries everything that happened before it. And therefore, we have to think about this, that our generation, the Ikvos of the Mashiach, even though we're the lowest, everyone's counting on us. Everything that ever happened from the earliest of time, from Avraham Avinu, Ara Yom Hazeh, right, is all resting on our shoulders. We're all resting upon our heel, and we're going to carry those, you know, those final steps, all of Jewish history on our back, right? But with the strength of our heels, with the thickness of our heels, with the density of our heels, we're going to carry and march our way towards the finish line. And the Brisker Rav was so nispal from it, so he jumped out of his chair and he was pacing the room. He kept repeating this vart over and over. Unbelievable. The heel, it's the lowest, and yet in a sense it's the highest. And Rav Brazil quotes a Medrash, as explained by the Skolia Rebbe, one of the most beautiful, beautiful things I think I ever heard in my life. The Medrash says that when Adam Arishon was ready to be buried in Maris Machpelah, because Adam Arishon was so tall, Chazal already described him as being so tall, again, how do you understand these things? Literally, not literally. But it says in the Medrash that Adam Arishon was so tall that they had to fold him in half in order to fit him into Maris Machpelah. That's why it's called Maris Machpelah. It's a double cave, because Adam, the first one was buried, there was folded in half. So says the Skolia Rebbe, Sheba Matzav Kazeh, when you fold a person in half, Hine Akevav Sha'adam Rishon Ha'inogim Barosho, the heel of Adam Rishon was touching his head, which is the way that, like, everything in Klai Yisrael, it's all about coming full circle. The Machol Shal Tzadikim Lasad Lava, the circle of the Tzadikim when Mashiach comes, right? The idea that when we finish reading the Torah, we immediately go back to Bereishis. Our whole life operates within those circles. I mean, it looks like everything's about to end. When a Jew looks like he's in his most dire straits, and dafka, that's where things are just beginning. When we finish the Torah, we think you're now. We don't understand anything. Let's start again. Let's get back mamish to the rishis. Let's go back to the beginning. Adam's foot and Adam's head should be able to touch, and that's why I think that's really the secret of what the P.S.S. Rebbe is saying here. That yes, we're the lowest generation, and in so many ways we're not even in control of our guf. We're not even controlled. The heel itself doesn't even have any. It's lost all feeling. V'gam chulshas haguf, in the second line, on page 12. V'gam chulshas haguf goremes harbe leheder v'mshalah. The body is so weak that it can't even control itself. There's no self-control. Sheyuchal le'ish limshol le'atzo hagufo. A person is detached even from being in control of himself, let alone his machshavos. V'kasher maschal atas avod asenu begufo le'zachol le'kadsho zo v'zo lo'olso biyado. And therefore the P.S.S. Rebbe says, you know what? We're not going to be able to pull in our guf. Not even be able to be perfectly in control of our guf before we start to think the way a Jew is supposed to think. We'll go our whole life, we'll never think once like a Jew. So because of the desperate times, we have to be somech on this unique reality that exists, that somehow the heel can touch the head. That somehow, even though, yes, our bodies are so broken, we do so many stupid things, we make so many bad decisions with the way that we act in this world, but there's a part of us that has a certain depth, a certain omek halev, and the omek hanshama, that's able to reach into that deep place and to be able to be aware of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a way that maybe even Jews who were doing more mitzvahs and doing more learning weren't able to be aware of. Maybe they were so caught up in their learning. It sounds like a strange thing to say. I'll tell you something that would rub a lot of people the wrong way. But it's printed, it's far. The Degel Machane Ephraim, we quoted before, the grandson of the Baal Shem Tov. He was a big masvid. I think I mentioned last week, before he was brought into his grandfather's world of thinking, the world of the Torah of the Baal Shem Tov and his Talmidim, he was a very big master in Niglos HaTorah, in the revealed areas of Torah. He learned a lot of Gemara, learned many, many, many hours of Gemara. And one time he was describing to his grandfather, the Baal Shem Tov, that a certain master was an even bigger master than him. And he said to the Baal Shem Tov, this guy is learning 18 hours a day. He learned so much Gemara, it's unbelievable. I'll be careful with what I'm about to say, but I'll say it anyways. So Baal Shem Tov said to him, you're so in the spell from him. You think he's such a great Jew because he learned so many hours of Gemara a day. The Baal Shem Tov said, this was his lashon. He said, I could also learn 18 hours a day, but I need to be over Hashem. I need to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Which means you could be learning Gemara 18 hours a day and have nothing to do with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what Baal Shem Tov was saying. Now I know that would rub a lot of people the wrong way. And if you learn the fourth shar of Nefesh HaChaim, part of what Rav Chaim Volozhiner's definition of Torah Lishma is, the direct way to connect the Torah is just by learning 18 hours of Gemara a day. Right? But the world of the Baal Shem Tov and the Baal Tanya and those who developed a different Mahalach in Torah Lishma means that there has to be Torah that leads me to an awareness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore it's possible for a person to move away from that. That a person can be involved. And therefore we have a unique ability, despite all of our lowliness, and despite all of our shortcomings, and despite our lack of refinement of the body, that we can't even sit still for 15 minutes and listen, to Dvar Torah between Mincha Ma'ariv if people are on their phones. Because they can't bear 2 minutes of Torah. They can't bear to listen to a short Dvar Torah. Right? All the more so to learn for hour after hour. It's not what we do. We can't do it. Our guf can't handle it. And yet there's a certain depth of our soul that we're able to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, be mindful of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a very unique and deep way. And again, this was the chiddush really of Yaakov Avinu and the machlokas of Yaakov and Yosef. It's late, we don't have too much time for it now. But the machlokas Yaakov and Yosef, Ephraim before Menashe, Menashe before Ephraim, the Sfarim all explain it, the Riach Eskel explains it, Shem Yishmuel explains it. It was a question of what comes first, Sor Meira V'Aseh Tov. We know the pasuk, Sor Meira, distance yourself from negativity, and then Aseh Tov, and then be involved in good things. And that's how Yosef held. Sor Meira V'Aseh Tov. First Menashe, which is a lashon of forgetting, right? A person has to detach himself and stop doing bad things, and then Ephraim, then Puravu, then he can be expansive, and then he can be doing good things. You got to stop with the bad behavior first. But of course, Yaakov Avinu had a different mahalach, and all the Sfarim say that's the Iker mahalach in our times. Chiddush HaRim said, all the Tzaddikim said, the main approach in our times has to be Aseh Tov. We have to do good. We can't wait, and that's why Yaakov crossed his hands and gave the bracha to Ephraim. Just do good things. Get your mind in the right place, and you'll see that in some strange way, maybe even the body will be dragged along. But if I wait till the body is in a perfect place before I start, says the P.S. Esther, Zo v'zo lo also biyadol, you'll be left with nothing, you'll be empty on both sides. Alright, let's just finish quickly the paragraph, and then we'll dive marv. Lo sha'a guf yitar, not that the body will be fully refined. Mikol shechina machshava shelo naga lo nisa lizakosa ulachazka. We're not able. We haven't even begun to understand what it means to refine and to strengthen it in the way that we hope to, that we could, that we should. Shenishar benimichusa, that we remain with our lowliness. Chasheicha meusa umefugeles, that we remain in the dark and we remain somewhat despised and rejected. Lachein tzrichem lahaskil asavod machshav. And therefore, you're going to sit around waiting for that perfect opportunity to become aware and alive with the Kodesh Baruch Hu's presence. It's not going to happen, says the Pizas. It's just not the reality of our world. And it's for that reason we've called ourselves the Society of Positive Mindfulness. Exactly as it sounds, that's what it is. To commit ourselves to becoming these types of people who are not going to be misasik. And again, I know we're talking a lot about the idea. We haven't really given techniques. Next week we'll get even more into the techniques. But we have to makabel the idea of it first. That it's possible for us to do this, and this is the goal of our lives. Right, like the Kabriner said, I can't understand. My brain doesn't understand the possibility of a Jew who lives even a second, that a Yid can go a rega without being aware of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. It's unfathomable to me. That's the Kabriner. That's Moshe of Kabrin. It's a lofty level, but it's something that again, a Jew who's connected believes b'metzias. It's possible. The shachlalo l'archiva, to perfect it and to expand it. Shalotia daka min adaka, that it shouldn't just be something that lingers beneath the surface in a very small and quiet kind of way. Rather, and it shouldn't be ha'ara overis lenitzos shemiskava behera. It shouldn't be a spark that flares up in us again, where I set my phone to remind me, think about God, think about God, think about God, every half hour. That it's a fleeting moment. Rakzacha v'chazaka, that it should be pure, it should be strong. Ashes kol aguf tachnia v'chol chushav tibatol tachta, to the point that my mindfulness of God will in turn refine the body. It sounds like a backwards way to operate, but it's what we have to do. He tisra v'hi timshol ba'adam. It'll appear and it'll rule over man. Kiem kol ha'ish miskadish kol gufo pisom rosh hashanah b'tikios ob yom kippur. And we see, he ends by saying, and I'll bring you a proof that it's true. Because think about it. What happened when you heard the shofar blast on Rosh Hashanah? Or what happened? How did you get to that place in the Eila so quickly? She'll say, what do you mean? On Yom Kippur, I refined my guf all day. I didn't wash my hands, I didn't wear leather shoes, I didn't do this, I didn't eat. Right? Okay, maybe. And what about my kol nidre? When you still had a full stomach? Right? And you were still, you weren't quite there yet. So how were you so moved? And Rosh Hashanah by Tekiyah Shofar, how did you suddenly become so radically transformed that your whole body from head to toe felt the presence of Hashem? Your body wasn't so refined a minute ago. Apparently what happened was that in that moment of closest to a Kodesh Baruch Hu, your mind was so drawn into a Kodesh Baruch Hu, the whole body got drawn up with it. So says the PSS, it's possible. Again, what, all of a sudden your whole body became refined suddenly on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur? It wasn't that way a second ago. So apparently now that we see that it is possible, that in a moment of good machshava, the whole body can make the right choices and be lifted to a place of holiness. So why should we abandon the machshava? Why should we sit back and wait for the right moment to start being Bali Machshava, in Ruach Vurasa, with this great spirit that lies within the power of the Machshava? Why should we allow it Lishon Lirkov Batzlusa Bekirbenu? Allow it to be fast asleep, right, and to rot in our laziness inside of us. So Mirtz Hashem, we should all be Zocha. As again, as Mirtz Hashem, we continue this journey together to become people who are Bali Machshava, that we shouldn't be. Like Rav Chaim Brisker says, people are misasik, where our actions are not even actions, and the good deeds we do are not even good deeds. But rather, we should be people, again, in the ways of the way of the Baal Shem Tov, in the way of all the tzaddikim who we've quoted tonight, in the ways of the Pizas, that's the Rebbe, to just remind ourselves of basic psukim in Torah, that a Jew can't forget a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Matishkach kel mecho alecha is the first step to falling apart. And Mirtz Hashem, we should be people of strong machshava, and we should be zochah to the gula of Meher Vinyan.
Amen.